Man, I was, when we were singing that last verse right there, and when before the throne I stand, in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. You know, there's a time coming when we're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before God, and the books are going to be opened. And every man outside of Christ is going to have the books of his works opened. And he's going to be judged out of that book. He's going to be judged according to his works. And if those works, which they won't, are not absolutely holy, perfect as God, Almighty God is going to say to him, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." But another book is going to be opened. It's the book of life. And everyone found written in that book from before the foundation of the world, Almighty God is going to say, "Well done." The righteousness of Christ, His work, His obedience is going to be that which Almighty God beholds, His blood. Well done. Well done. Oh, may God have mercy on us. May God Almighty bless the word to our heart. Now listen, in just a few minutes, I desire to preach the gospel. And this message is the only message that the Spirit of God is going to bless to the salvation of a sinner. This is it. Nothing else matters. May the Lord bless the word tonight to our understanding. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come before you, help us. Lord, thank you for this flock that you've raised up. Thank you for the assemblies where you've raised up a faithful pastor to preach. Thank you for raising up Brother Scott. Thank you for keeping him and teaching him and teaching these folks. And Lord, thank you that you've allowed us to still be here again. And that, Lord, you've not moved the candlestick. Have mercy upon us for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to look at verses 4 to 9. Brother Gary led us in a song talking about the faithfulness of God. And I thought, that's what I'm going to preach on. God is faithful. You know, the Apostle Paul penned these words under the inspiration of God's Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. If you're going through an infirmity tonight, be thankful. Be thankful. You say, "But it's grievous." But if you know Him, your name is written in heaven. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 4, he says this, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul says, I thank my God. You know, no doubt, he thanked God. But there was something personal in Paul's address here, something special. He said, I'm thanking my God. My God. That right there was a fulfillment of Ezekiel 36:28. And the Lord said, ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Almighty God is the God of His people. My God. And that for which he thanked, always thanked his God on behalf of the church of the Lord Corinth, was this: for the grace of God, for the favor, for the benefit, for the loving kindness which is given you by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, just stop for just a second and realize, how much do we have thankful for the grace of God that has been given us in Christ Jesus? We don't even know where to start. I wouldn't know what to say. Where do I begin? Paul says, I thank my God for His grace that was given you. We're here tonight. We're here on a Wednesday night. You say, well, but we always come here on a Wednesday night. But we're still here on a Wednesday night. That we would want to be here is by the grace of God. I'm not going to tell you anything tonight. I don't believe that you've never heard before. But you know, the comfort to a believer is that they hear the same gospel of Christ. Tell me about Him one more time. Tell me about the Lord one more time. You stop and think for just a minute. You that know Him, you that love Him, that Almighty God, by His Holy Spirit, set you apart for His good pleasure. That He would set you apart out of the lump of humanity and say, you're mine. And what was the difference between you and anybody else? Nothing. Nothing. We're all just as rotten as the next one. We're totally depraved. But that God Almighty would say, I'm going to adopt you in Christ to be my son. I choose you. I choose you. Why? Because it pleased Him to do so. According to His everlasting covenant of grace, that He would show mercy and compassion. And then, having chosen you, the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh. He assumed a body. A body was prepared Him by the Spirit of God. And He was conceived in the womb of a virgin. And He came forth after 9 months, just like you and I did. He was born just like we were. Flesh, made flesh, yet without sin. And He grew up before God in absolute obedience. And not one time did he ever disobey God. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He never said, except for that time when he, He knew no sin. He knew no sin. And when he went to the cross, by the grace of God for his people, he was made sin. He who knew no sin, made sin for us. In all of the heinousness of sin, which I don't even know what it is. I can't even tell you what it is. Sin. I can tell you something about the evidence of it. I can see the evidence of it, but I cannot tell you. But whatever it is, that's what he was made. And he hung on that cross, forsaken of God, forsaken of his Father. Why? Because God Almighty was pleased to be gracious unto you, his people, and purpose that peace was going to be established by Christ for his people. And God forsook him that he would never forsake his people, because he loved them. And Christ died for them, bore their guilt, and God Almighty now pardons. I'm a sinner right now, but my debt been paid. And now, I sin right now. I'm sinning against God right now, because I'm not thinking, preaching, expressing perfectly. I can't do it. And all of my righteousness, filthy rags, but for the sake of Christ, God pardons, pardons, and pardons. Why? He paid the debt. Paid the debt. Grace given. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Christ Jesus. Given you. Didn't earn it. Never obtained anything by our will or merit or power. But all came through the good providence of God. The hands of the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought out the work, the mediator. And through his blood, we've been set free. That's grace. Never deserved it. And then the scripture says in verse 5, that in everything he thanked God always on their behalf for the grace of God given them by Christ Jesus. That in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That is according to the grace of God that has been given you in Christ. God Almighty has provided for you in everything needful, furnished you richly with spiritual riches. He has endowed you with divine truth. And here's the evidence of it. You understand. You understand it. And you believe it. You talk about the grace of God. That you would be sitting here tonight and believe what God has to say. That you would believe the Holy Scriptures. He said, in everything you're enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. There were many of them there that were able, had been gifted to preach. Many of them there that were believing what was being preached. And they had special gifts that had been given. I'm going to read them in just a few minutes. But God had just so richly blessed that church at Corinth, that one we talked about that came from such horrible beginnings, and there was so much in that church that they needed to be straightened out about. Paul did. He did straighten them out. Told them what God had to say, but oh, the blessing Paul said that God has wrought upon you. Look at verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, insomuch or because the testimony of Christ, the gospel of God's grace, was confirmed in you. He said, I'm thanking God that that message, the message of the gospel that declares the Lord's deity, his incarnation, his obedience, his life, his death, his ascension into heaven, that continual intercession where he ever liveth to make intercession, was confirmed in you. That is, it was established and shown to have been made firm and sure in you. How? Well, by your belief, by your confession of faith, what the Spirit of God had taught you, but you're still here. You're still here. You're still here believing. You're still listening and hearing the gospel. Made this quite evident. That's what Paul was saying. By these signs and miracles. Verse 7. So that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Corinth had possessed many of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, and we'll get to this, but I'm going to just read to you. I'll just read this. I've got them listed right here in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. The Holy Spirit in that chapter revealed these gifts that had been given to this church. Paul said, you don't come behind in any church. No church are you, you know, you come behind in. When it comes to God's blessing, he said, what a blessing the Lord has wrote. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That is, the mysteries of the gospel have been made known to some, and they're able to explain them. That's a miracle of God's grace, that God would give a man the ability to read something and then teach him what it means and gift him to explain it, to set forth what it is. He said to another, the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge, and Brother Henry made some comments on this, and I'll tell you this, I'm using them. The word of knowledge, being able to set forth and understand in the types and the prophecies, to see that. And he said to another, faith by the same Spirit, and gifts of healing, the same Spirit to another, working of miracles, to just work miracles. Not all of them had all of these gifts, but he said this one had this one had this, and it was to the profit of all. He said to another, prophecy, to another, the discerning of spirits, to be able to discern, when it says discerning of spirits, true preachers and false preachers. He said, I remember somebody telling me something about something that Brother Scott said one time concerning this, and it was something that he saw and perceived that some others had not picked up on. He said, "Nah, we're just gonna wait a little bit," and it proved to be the way he saw it was. That's by the grace of God, that God would give a man the ability to have a gift and discern. And he says, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. That is, to preach in different languages that they had never learned before. These gifts, you know, after a while, they were no more when the scriptures were finally written. But for a while, these gifts were here. And Paul said, you don't come behind anybody in them. But he says, so verse 7, you come behind in no gift, and this is what you're doing. You're waiting for the coming or the revelation of our Lord. I know that that's what we're doing. What are we doing here tonight? Weren't you here last Sunday? Now, weren't you here for two Sundays, and last Wednesday, and then two services on Sunday, and then last week? What are you doing here? Well, we're coming here listening to the preaching of the gospel, waiting for the Lord to come back. That's what we're waiting on. That's the only thing we're waiting on. I mean, we're getting older. It may be that the Lord may come back before another one of us dies. It may not be. But no matter what, one way or the other, for a believer, the Lord's going to come to him. Either in death and receive him to himself like he did Stephen, or he's going to come, the trump of God's going to sound, the dead in Christ's going to rise, and we which were remaining on the earth are going to meet them in the air, and so we'll ever be with the Lord. That's what we're waiting on. That's all we're waiting on right now. What are you waiting on? To retire? Do you ever really quit everything? No. What are you going to do? We're waiting on the Lord. Waiting for the coming of our Lord. Longing to see Him. Longing. If we die, or if He returns, just for a second, we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to actually, and we're going to be like Him. We're going to see Him as He is and be like Him. Sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints, and go know them. They knew Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't they? Had they ever met them? They knew who they were. Why? That's part of their body. Part of the body. I know that that's my hand. I know that's mine. Waiting on the coming of our Lord. And so great is that glorious arrival connected with His return. The Apostle Paul says this, I've fought a good fight. You know, I desire to be able to say that. I want to. I'm so embarrassed with, I see myself and I see my attitude and I see my failings. But to say I believe God, I believe Him, that the Lord's kept me, that the Lord has allowed me to be maintained. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Does that not just rejoice your heart when you think, Lord, keep me. Keep me in the faith. Keep me to the day of salvation. Lord, that's what You said concerning Your people, those who are kept by the power of God through faith. I want to wake up. I want to go to bed tonight believing God. I want to wake up in the morning believing God. I desire to see His coming. All who live in expectation of the coming of Christ, who expect it and who anticipate it with joyfulness, that is the characteristic of a believer. They're looking for the coming of the Lord. And while the Lord's people are found waiting for the return of their precious Savior, the Holy Spirit declares in verse 8, who, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Hold your place. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. First Thessalonians 3:11 to 13. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul says, I pray, God keep you, establish you, that you might be found faithful. Here the apostle declares that the Lord's never going to forsake his own. He said he's going to confirm you. He's going to establish you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a believer's continual prayer. Lord, I know that I didn't begin a walk of faith by my ability. I know I didn't. Lord, I know that you had to call me out of darkness. When I was pleased to be on my road to Damascus, Lord, you stopped me. Lord, would you keep me? Lord, if you stopped me the first time, you will keep me. Lord, may it be so with me. May I be found faithful. Lord, if you've begun a good work in me, you'll continue it. Lord, continue it. Isn't that the heart of a believer? Lord, I know you're going to keep your people. Would you keep me? Lord, I know you don't pass by your people. Would you not pass by me, oh gentle Savior? Would you hear my cry? Lord, would you save me? The Father who placed his people in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to keep them there. God's people are going to be confirmed in the faith. They're going to be found blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their blamelessness, they'll admit, it wasn't of me. But you're going to be confirmed to be in Christ alone. You're going to be found and proven that all your guilt was put away by him, and he robed you in his righteousness. In this last verse for tonight, the apostle says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Here's what Paul was saying. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. Years ago, this just came to my mind. I'm going to share it with you. I wanted to go. I don't remember. I was probably 10, 11 years old. My dad was drove a bread truck. And we lived in a little old town. Well, it wasn't even a town. It was outside of a town, just out in the country. We lived in a little place called Rogue Gully. Rogue Gully. If I spelled it, it don't even look like that. But that's all right, Rogue Gully. I wanted to go to town. I wanted to go to Merritt's grocery store. I'd saved my money. And I had some candy I wanted. I remember what I wanted. And I told my dad. My dad got up and he went to work. He got up at 2 o'clock every morning, went to work. And I told him the night before, I said, Dad, I'm gonna go over to Merritt's store tomorrow. I'm gonna walk. Man, I don't know, Mama, how far was it? 5 miles? Goodness gracious, it was 100 to a kid. And my dad told me, he said, I'll be getting off, about this time, and he said, I'll take you over there. And I said, okay. Well, according to my recollection of what time he normally should have been there, he may have been a few minutes later than I thought, and I started walking. And I'm telling you, buddy, in central Louisiana, in the middle of summer, on an asphalt road, with that sun beating down, it is hot. It's hot. And I didn't get very far. And I can remember, Rogue Gully Road has got, and I remember seeing that bread truck coming over here, and it come over another one. And it came over this one right here, and it came over this last one. And when he got up to me, he stopped. And man, I was sweating. I was so hot. And this is what he told me. I told you I would come get you. I said, yes, sir. I got in a truck, and he turned it around, took me to the store. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. The Apostle Paul says, the Lord will confirm you. The Lord will prove to His people that they have been established in Him. That which He has eternally purposed and promised, He's going to fulfill it. We're going to be in His presence. He said, I will never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And my old man tells me, you best start walking. What if he don't come? What if it's not so? God is faithful, by whom you were called. Effectually called. Called out of spiritual darkness by the Holy Spirit of God. Has He not called you? Do you now believe what you once did not believe? Was there not a time in your life when you heard the glorious gospel of God's free grace and it just went off you like water off a duck's back? It just didn't matter. But now you believe Him. And you still believe in Him. He said, I told you I'd keep you. And this ain't all of it. He's coming back. He shall confirm us who, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's people have been called into a state of agreement with God. Fellowship with Him. Friendship and union in Christ. Almighty God is going to manifest their life in Christ totally. John 15, 4 and 5 in closing says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John said, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's going to keep us. He's going to confirm us. He's going to bring us to Himself. Lord, bless the word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.